Retirement in America could soon look a lot different.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The bipartisan group of lawmakers led by Vice President Joe Biden will meet again today in Washington. The group wants to come up with a deal to raise the nation's debt ceiling and cut spending by early July. Today, negotiators are expected to focus on changes to entitlement programs, which could have big implications for the future of retirement in America. For more on that, let's bring in Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, I imagine retirement could end up looking pretty different in America down the road.
Well, forget the RV, enjoying yourself in the sun. If you're going to sum up the future of retirement in America, there's only one word to describe it: bleak. I mean, look, we're cutting back on Social Security. We're going to cut back on Medicare. And yet McKinsey & Company, the blue chip consulting firm, its survey says that the average American household is $250,000 short of what it needs for a comfortable retirement.
Wow.
Do you know what the average 401k balance is, Jeremy?
What?
It's $58,000. And then there's that recent study that came out. It was a survey. But half of American households couldn't come up with $2,000 within 30 days in an emergency. So here's the mantra when it comes to retirement. It is save more, work longer.
And a lot of the money that we are saving in our retirements, for many people, goes into their 401ks. Can 401ks be the primary retirement savings vehicle?
Well, at the moment, it is our primary retirement savings vehicle. It was never designed to be that way. It was really to be a supplement to the traditional pension, the one that is a formula based on years of work and what your wage was, and then you get a check for the rest of your life. But that's what we've got, because you know what? In Washington, there's no stomach for a universal plan or some sort of mandate. Yet the experience of the past three decades is that we don't really know how to invest. The 401k puts too much responsibility on us, but we're stuck with it.
And what about the people, Chris, that are far away from retirement, but will be affected if people are going to have to work perhaps into their 70s? What does it do to the job market?
It's a big deal. During tough times, it means that the competition for jobs is going to be fierce, limited number of slots. In good times, companies are going to come up with ways to, well, reward their younger workers. Hey, you get a pay increase. For their older workers, well, you're not going to get a pay increase, but you know when that grandkid is born? Take 3 weeks vacation.
How nice. Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Well, the cable TV industry is in Chicago today for its annual get-together. And this year, the big threat to the industry isn't the internet. It's the cost of cable. Sally Herships reports.
This statistic is getting a lot of play this week at the cable show.
The bottom 40% of U.S. households have already exhausted their disposable income.
Mark Robichaux is editor-in-chief of Multichannel News.
So there's not a whole lot left for clothing or for cable. You can't have a business if people can't afford your product.
That hasn't stopped the big cable operators from raising prices. Robichaux says the average subscription costs 30% more than it did 5 years ago. Kartik Hosanagar teaches internet media at Wharton. He says some cable industry execs have talked about offering lower-cost options, but so far there's been little action.
It might change in the distant future, but it's not going to happen in the immediate future.
Hosanagar says first cable companies will need to accept that the old model is in danger. This week's downbeat meeting may have signaled a first step. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down this morning in overseas trading as investors are watching Greece. There's more concern there. Stocks down more than 1% in London and Frankfurt. Greece's prime minister is planning to reshuffle his government so he can get support for big spending cuts. On Wall Street yesterday, another big drop. The Dow fell 178 points, about 1.5%, to close at 11,897.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering business owners financial guidance for the long term. Information at massmutual.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. For the latest in healthcare, Marketplace recently visited Russia for an intriguing look at the changing healthcare system. Visit marketplace.org and click on the health link for more.
Well, in Russia, there is a big economic forum going on today. It's being called the Davos of Russia because of all the political and economic bigwigs that are showing up. The event is an opportunity for Russia to market itself for international investment. And this year, there's a lot more focus on opportunities in the East than the West. Reporter Peter Van Dyke is at the forum, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Peter, set the scene for us. What are people talking about there this year?
The big news this year is a potential gas deal with China. Hu Jintao, the president of China, is the guest of honor this week, and the Kremlin loves to announce big business deals here. This year, though, there's been a slight hitch. The marquee deal was meant to be a contract for Russian gas exports to China, but Russia wants higher prices than China is prepared to pay. It's not clear that the deal will get done in time for Hu Jintao's appearance with President Dmitry Medvedev tomorrow.
So everyone's talking about this deal with China. What about U.S. companies? Are they in the mix this year? Does anybody care?
Well, of course they are, because President Medvedev is openly keen for U.S. high-tech firms to bring their expertise to Russia. Google's Eric Schmidt is a star name here, as well as the CEOs of Cisco and aluminum giant Alcoa. The biggest news everyone's waiting for, though, is the launch of the Russian Fund of Direct Investments. Russia very much wants to encourage international investors, and the government is willing to go halves with them on any investment. There are $2 billion up for grabs this year.
Reporter Peter Van Dyke at the annual St. Petersburg International Economic Forum. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And finally, as if the U.S. Postal Service needed any more problems, in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, two post office customers were attacked last week by bald eagles. Turns out a pair of the birds, which can have an 8-foot wingspan, are nesting near the post office, and they're dive bombing customers to protect their chicks. Authorities, though, say they have no plans to move the nest or to change the post office logo, which, of course, is a picture of a bald eagle. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Waikiki Beach brings Hawaii about $2 billion in revenue every year. But like the beach's sandy stretches, that revenue is in danger of being washed away.
I look at it as triage. What beaches can we save for the next generation, and which beaches are going to be difficult to save?
I'm Kai Rizdal, changing climates, disappearing beaches, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.